So this morning we are hearing young people's voices. And it's part of, as Rosie said, this initiative of the Scottish Government, of the Church of Scotland, and of the Young Scot Card scheme as well. There are a whole host of people taking part. I encourage you to visit the website for the Year of the Young People, and you'll see all kinds of people agreeing to take part. Historic Scotland are offering young people the opportunity to visit their sites for £1 if they produce their Young Scot Card. There are lots of other things. As a church, we're encouraged to do all kinds of things. We're being asked to put up a poster to say that we believe in children and young people. We have a pledge that we have to sign at some point. We have a children and young people health check that we are to take during the year. And then, this is in black and white, but there's a wee act of commitment that we could have used in worship today, but there are a few statements in it that I want to have a wee think about with other people within this congregation and with the young people themselves before we say that, yes, we are prepared to live by that commitment. So it's not there for us this morning. It will appear at some point throughout the year. Throughout this year, we're encouraged on a monthly basis to have a little bit of a focus on the Year of the Young People. And there are themes for each month. This month is the whole body. Next month is health and well-being. There's lots for us to be doing. Within Scripture, young people often play an important role in sharing their encounter with God, with the larger community of faith. Old Testament heroes are often at their best as the young antagonists of action. Jacob, Joseph, Samuel, David, Gideon, the list could go on, but all encouraged to play their part in God's activity in their youth. In the New Testament, Mary, many of the disciples like Andrew and Simon are likely to have been invited to follow Jesus while they're still in their teens. Of course, Scripture also tells us that there's a place for everyone in God's activity. We heard from the book of Joel this morning what is possibly the most familiar passage from the book, as Peter quotes it on the day of Pentecost. It's possibly also the most engaging part of the prophecy, as much of the rest revolves around an ancient plague of locusts and the devastation that it has on the community. It's a passage that speaks of the breadth of God's promise to the people of faith. God's Spirit is poured on all with no regards to gender, age, or social status. The prophecy of the terrible day is to be overturned in the abundance of God's grace for all. The passage from Romans is equally familiar, and we understand the metaphor of the body as one that we continue to use today. Perhaps, though, we wonder how Paul might have stumbled across the thought that would begin an expression of church for generations to come. Was he disturbed by the fragility of the body with high mortality rates around him and the vulnerability of his own body? Perhaps his thoughts were inspired by visits to the temple of the Roman god of healing, Asclepius, where pilgrims would make a honey cake offering in the hope of healing. The pilgrim was supposed to encounter the god in a dream, and once healed, would return to the temple with a terracotta model of the healed part of the body to be displayed in the shrine. Did these casts of disembodied body parts, every possible body part, stir thoughts of the lack of life without connectivity? Wherever the thought came from, Paul uses the metaphor to remind those listening to the letter that we do not live in isolation, particularly in our faith. Instead, we grow and inspire each other by recognizing the vitality of sharing in life together. Church is not a noun, but instead a verb, full of life and activity. Just before Christmas, I received a private message on Twitter from someone I know in another congregation. I don't know them very well, and I really only met them because of being John's chaplain. They were asking if there were young people who were part of our Kirk session, and if so, would I be prepared to tell their Kirk session what the positive and or the negative impact was that they had in the life of our Kirk session and on the church. I didn't respond until the first week in the new year, partly because it was Christmas, partly because I wanted to think about it, and partly because I was surprised by the question, not least because I thought the person would have realised that at one time I might have been considered a young minister. My eventual response read something like this. We have 4 young elders who fall within your age group, 3 women and a man. I don't suppose age has been an issue for this congregation even before my time. Some of the elders came onto the Kirk session when they were about the same age as our youngest. The Kirk session invites the congregation to nominate people and then approaches them, those names that are on the list. And so the congregation in the first instance have seen these people as offering spiritual insight, pastoral care and leadership. The Kirk session responds to that. The pros are that I think we have a Kirk session that responds, that represents a broad age group. We're more diverse in our thinking and challenged to take brave decisions. The only downside I can think of is that sometimes pressure of family life and work makes it difficult for them to attend. Sometimes. As it does for others. I suppose my other thing would be that I don't see this as being young to be on the Kirk session. My father was an elder at 25, and I used to do his district visiting with him as a child. I was ordained at 29. Why should others not be offered the opportunity to use the gifts they're exhibiting at a time when they're lively and prepared to take on the world? Of course, I know older people fall into that category too. I think all 3 Kirk sessions I have led have had at least one person under the age of 40, and it has never been anything other than a blessing to have the contrasting experiences of all ages within our Kirk session and congregational life. As we begin to celebrate a year of young people, we begin with the recognition that there is a place for everyone within the life of our church community. Perhaps we are fortunate to still have young people who wish to be part of the activities that form our community life. But as we've heard in their words today, they have found a place of welcome that allows them the opportunity to participate. So perhaps we should be inspired by their faith and encouraged to remain open to all that God intends for us. Amen.